I'm Josefina Bonsundinvumba. Welcome to Retention Conversations, the podcast. I truly believe in the untapped potential existing in Africa and within African communities inside and outside of Africa, whose talent, hard work, and innovations can help and are helping transform our societies. I also believe in the value of stories and that by sharing, we can identify common lessons, challenges, and opportunities for growth. This podcast is for those interested in African narratives and topics that touch African communities, with the hope of creating a safe platform for open conversation, learning, and inspiration. I hope you enjoy listening. I am Lami, so I understand you are the founder of
Yes, I am. 54.
A platform to learn African languages online.
Yes,
so I am. Thank you so much for joining me and having chat with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And on that note, I kind of wanted to know a bit about yourself. Tell me who you are and tell me a bit about your journey.
Okay. My name is Omokolawole Lamikwara. I'm the founder of Lingua 54. I have lived in Nigeria all my life. I moved to the UK last year. My wife is here. I moved and joined my wife. And I'm a trained lawyer. I've worked in retail. I've worked in commercial banking. I've worked in investment banking. I've been an entrepreneur practically all my life, probably since I was 8, 9 years old. Wow. And for me, it's doing business and making an impact has always been something that I've always done. Mm. And that is what has brought me to where I am today and to what I am doing, Lingua 54.
So can you tell me a bit more about Lingua 54 also to understand it? What is it?
Okay. And what's your mission? Okay. Lingua 54 is a platform. It's a platform set up to preserve and promote African culture, history, and most importantly, languages. Mm-hmm. What we have found out, or what everybody knows, is over the past hundreds of years, 400, 500 years ago, slave trade started, and with that went a lot of people and also a lot of culture. And history was taken with people when they left. And what we realized, or what we realized, is that a lot of people who are what we call a diaspora today, mm-hmm. and people who are Black but no longer identify as Africans, were actually Africans. And over the years, they had lost touch with what we with history, with their history, with their culture, with their languages. Some of them speak English, some of them speak French, some of them speak Spanish, some of them speak Portuguese. And I think I had listened. I listened to a couple of your interviews before today, and I think the one that struck me the most was the one you had with the Congolese ladies, the hair merchants.
Crowns.
And they mentioned, I think one of them said she had been in Belgium, and one of them said she had been in France. And something they mentioned, they said every time they went back to Congo, there was no connection, and they go back to Belgium, it's like you're not from Belgium. You go to Congo and it's like you're not from Congo. And for me, they are, first of all, they're Africans. And that connection would have been there if they had been able to speak the language. Language is the primary, most basic form of communication. I remember listening, reading A Long Walk to Freedom and Nelson Mandela's book, and he when he wanted to run for political office, when he wanted to start his political career, he couldn't speak his language, his local language, and everybody were like, you can't connect with the people if you cannot speak the language. That is the most basic and the most intrinsic part of any culture. So for me, I'm like, okay, what can we do? I'm Nigerian. I've lived all my life in Nigeria. I don't see myself the way people, Black people abroad, see themselves. And when you come here, you realize it's a different mindset entirely. And there's some sort of disjoints. So I'm like, okay, how can we create a platform where these people can not just learn their language, learn their history, learn their culture, and know who they are. Find out who they really are. Am I British or am I Nigerian? Am I Belgian or am I Congolese? Okay, we've had 4 or 5 generations who've lived in Belgium, but my forefathers were actually from Congo. So why don't I learn about my language? And that's what Lingua 54 is all about, creating a platform where people who've lived in diaspora and people who are Black, who were originally from Africa, and then people who are probably people who I would call African enthusiasts, mm-hmm. would be able to sit down and learn language on a platform that's online. So that's Lingua 54 in a nutshell.
Super interesting. I mean, I'm a person that loves languages, and I always, I miss basically something that you mentioned, which is that linkage through the language.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting that when you go back to, not for everyone, but sometimes when you've raised in, you were raised in Europe and you go back to Africa, people question how African you are, but as soon as you tell them, you actually understand the local language, or you speak the local language, you're again kind of respected in the community.
Yes, so you're respected and accepted. Yes.
Exactly. So it's very interesting. So in Africa, there's over 1,500 languages. Are you going to teach them all, or what do you start?
Okay. So what we've done is we've actually identified 50 languages that we want to start with. And the goal is to create. So we are creating the syllabuses and the lesson plans are being created from the scratch. Mm-hmm. So we're not taking things that are available at the moment. There's actually really nothing that's available in terms of learning these languages. So what we're doing is to create the platform, not to create the lesson plans for these languages from the scratch. And we've identified 50, and the plan is to grow up to as many as possible. But the first 2 years, we're focusing on those 50. And as time goes on, we'll probably add more to the list of the 50. Mm.
Can you give me some examples of the languages that we could find as soon as you start?
So we're starting with Twi, Yoruba, and Igbo, mm-hmm. basic. And then a few weeks after that, we're adding Swahili, Ga, and Bini, which is a language from Nigeria. So those first 6 are at the basic. And then as time goes on, we would add many more. And the 50 we've chosen were actually based off on requests from our client base. So we didn't just pick these languages randomly. It was people who asked and said, oh, I want to learn Berber, I want to learn Lugunda, I want to learn Fanti, I want to learn Ga, I want to learn Swahili. And based off on what they've asked for, we've decided, okay, these are the languages that we want start with and develop. Yes.
Can you tell me a bit about the profile of these teachers, who is giving the lessons, how that's
going? Okay.
And also, I'd love to know more about your team, just so we get the feel of who is behind
it. Okay. That's actually very important, because also something we're trying to do is to create some sort of social impact. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I would say is, if you learn, I'd give an example. If you learn Yoruba from someone who has been in the UK all his life, and you learn Yoruba from someone who has been in Sagamo in Ogun State in Nigeria all his life, there's a difference. There's a difference in intonation. There's a difference in the way they speak. There's a difference in the way they pronounce words. And so what we've done is we've created a platform where these teachers are actually indigenous speakers, people who have spoken this language all their life, who speak this language every day, who actually live in communities back in Africa where these languages are spoken. Mm. Now for us, that is to give the people here or the people abroad the chance to learn the language the proper way. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we're giving the people back in Africa the chance to connect with people abroad and also earn a living through teaching. Now, what we're going to be paying them would be way, way above what their basic wages are in whatever country they are in. So there's some sort of what I would call some sort of what word will I use now? they are happy to do it because they're earning a lot of money from it. It will be quite a bit of money to them. You get me? So for me, that's very important. So people are doing something, they're happy about it because they're carrying out some social service and they're making money from it. Mm. So that's what we plan to do with the teaching. Now, at the moment we have a very small team. We plan to keep it lean. I've always believed you don't really need too many people to get things done. But my team is comprised of people from Western Africa, from West Africa, from East Africa. Our CTO is from Kenya. Head of operations is from Ghana. I am from Nigeria. And we have people on the IT team who are from different countries in Africa. So it's scattering of different people.
It's
a mix of different people from different African countries, but we're all African.
And just these teachers that you are engaging to teach the classes, do they have to be teachers themselves? What is the profile of, or is it quite open? And do they have to speak any other language? So, for example, if I am someone that is not from Nigeria and I'd like to learn Igbo, do I need to speak English? Or what is going to be the connection, the language connecting the two? Or is it expected that it would be a person that wants to learn Igbo teaching someone that belongs to that community?
Okay, so no, so there has to be a basis, and the basis is English.
Okay.
But what we've also, basis is English. So first of all, you have to know how to speak English to be able to teach the African language. But what we've also realized is that English isn't the only language. It's not the only lingua franca for mm-hmm. Africa. There's, like you said, there's Spanish, Portuguese, there's French. So there's Italian, and what we've done is we've realized there are large African communities in different countries around the world that don't speak English. So we're starting with English. Shortly after, we're moving on to Italian. We actually even started creating content for Italian languages, Italian lessons that would be for African languages. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's, like I said, English is the base, but there'll be bases cutting across European languages, English, French, Italian, Portuguese, Spanish, as time goes on.
Exciting, very exciting. What is your take on the importance of learning African languages for the continent, its communities, and beyond?
Okay, its importance cannot be overemphasized, and I would express this in something that happened a few years ago. I can't remember exactly who, his name skips my mind, but a president of an African country went to an AU summit and mm-hmm. started to speak in Swahili, and everybody was scrambling around looking for interpreters because there were no interpreters for Swahili. It was just probably French, Portuguese. That showed something to Africa that day, that we're actually Africans and we're all here, 54 leaders of 54 countries in Africa, and we actually are not speaking a language. And its importance is first of all, most importantly, its importance is in the African continent. There has to be, language brings some sort of togetherness. It makes you realize, oh, this person is my brother. The reason I was reading Trevor Noah's book, and he spoke about how he loves to mimic people, he loves to learn languages, and he would go into a community and he's obviously an outsider. But because he understands their language and because he speaks their language, somebody comes up to him and says, oh, who are you? And he's able to speak their language, and they're like, oh, okay, you're our brother. And there's that comradeship, there's that brotherhood. Mm-hmm. So it's important for anything to grow, there has to be brotherhood. Africa, unfortunately, at the moment, is the most backward of all the continents. But for us to grow, for us to move forward, we actually have to understand ourselves. We actually have to understand that we are brothers, first of all, and believe in common goal. So for there to be a common goal, you have to speak the same language. So it's very important. Now, if there's that common goal, if there's that togetherness, then the outside world would actually see you as a more serious person, see you as a more serious entity. If you come to them and there's no togetherness, you are not sitting down to discuss on the table as brothers, but you're sitting down to discuss on the table as different 54 different entities. Nobody respects you. So for me, that's really the importance of language on the African continent and on the global scale.
So really, you're putting it as something important really for the unity and the strength of the continent, really, as I...
Unity, strength, and development. Unity and strength will lead to the development of the African continent. Yes.
So would you say that Lingua 54 main aim is really to focus on African communities itself, or is it also planning? Because you mentioned also African enthusiasts in your introduction earlier. How does this relate to communities that go beyond the African, and how is it still important for these communities perhaps to learn African languages?
Well, I would say yes, majorly, we plan, or we will cater to African communities, but there are people who are not Africans, who are not dark skinned, who want to learn African languages. There are dark skinned people who decide to learn Spanish, for instance, for whatever reason. Or decide to learn French, or decide to learn German for whatever reason. So it's also important. So answering that question, I'll give the example of the number one investors in Africa right now, the Chinese. The lingua franca, or the basis for communication between Chinese and Africans, is usually either English or French. But if there's a chance for them to learn the African language, I'm sure they will be happy to. They are coming to do business. It promotes their business. It makes the person they're coming to do business trust them more. So yes, that's where I think the importance of the external, the people who are outside Africa coming. There'll be tourists. There will also be tourists who are coming to visit, who want to learn a bit about African languages, who want to know what to say when they go to the market, who want to know what to say when they get to their hotel. That's what I would say is probably important, but it's just a small, but eventually the plan is to cater to everybody. Yeah, far and beyond Africa, because like I said, Africa is developing at a faster rate than any other continent, because we still have large space to grow and expand, and lots of investors will be coming from outside Africa to invest in Africa, and it will be easier and better for them to understand the language of the people who they're doing business with.
It's interesting because you have very clear who is your most immediate target to start with, and the reasons behind it. You also mentioned a couple of times you emphasize the blackness aspect, right? The dark skin. If you feel comfortable, I'd like to also understand a bit better why you think this is an important thing to mention, because there's people out there that still support the idea of any African, any looking. Why is it still important that we create this unity with, you know, because of the Africanness, but also because of that blackness that you mentioned?
Well, maybe I shouldn't have spoken too much about the dark skin, but the Africans who are not dark skinned, as an aside, what I would say is
maybe you're referring to the heritage, and that's why you...
That's why I'm referring to the blackness. I'm referring to the heritage. Mm-hmm. Yes, but also what I could also say is the Africans who are not exactly as dark-skinned as the other parts of Africa. But what you also realize about those people who are not dark-skinned is they are together. Mm-hmm. There's unity. There's some unity in themselves, as exactly. it were.
Yeah.
But the ones who are dark-skinned don't have that sort of unity.
Yeah. And I think it's important to mention this point, because we often try to be so careful about that, right? Because Africa is such a diverse continent, the same as it is Europe. And you wouldn't say there's a, you know, you wouldn't just focus on white Europeans. But I think here what you're trying to say is that there is a common history, and that's and that's why the blackness, right? It's not just because of the skin color, but it's because...
No, it's not just because of the skin color.
Common history that we share. And I think I just wanted to get your views on that, and also make sure that it's clear from this interview what is meant by that. It's not.
It's not just the dark skin. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The heritage, yes.
Actually, I was I'm interested to know, what is one or two facts about African cultures that you find interesting, that you think that the world should know about?
Sorry, can you say that again? Can you repeat yourself again?
Yes, of course. What is one or two facts about African culture that you find very interesting that you think the world, the rest of the world should know about?
I'm sure the whole world knows, but in case they've forgotten, Africa is actually the cradle of civilization. Civilization started from Africa. I'll give the example of surgeries. It's known fact that in ancient Egypt, as far back as a couple of centuries ago, before surgery became what it was today, they had already started open heart surgeries, brain surgeries, things that the world celebrates now as major feats were already being done there successfully. That is something nobody will tell you about. Everybody tries to paint Africa as this backward place where you have people running around in leaves and being chased by lions in the day, but hundreds of years ago there were surgeries being performed by people who were Africans. So I think it's important to note that Africa has civilization actually started from Africa and spread to the world, and then the world came back and took the civilization from Africa. So it's time for civilization to come back to Africa.
But more specifically on languages, one or two facts that you find interesting about African languages? It could be also within your own culture that many people probably don't know.
Okay. People might not know that so African languages are divided into about three or four families. But what you find out is that most African languages share common words. Majority of African languages share common words. So what you find out as you learn African languages is that what one word means in one language might mean the same thing in another language. It would just sound slightly different. Now, you'd be surprised to know that these names, so when you're talking about, so if for instance, a word in Nigeria, there's the Igbo language and there's Yoruba language. Now, if for instance, the Igbo language and Yoruba language had a word that sounded the same, you say, oh, okay, they about probably 50, 100 kilometers from each other. But when you now find out that there's a word in Yoruba language that sounds the same as a word in Swahili, for instance, and these are people who are in East Africa, who are thousands of kilometers away, you now come to understand that Africa was actually one before. Everything came from one source, everything came from one root. And at the end of the day, these languages have spread from a particular source because a lot of them have similar sounding words and words that almost mean the same thing. So it's important to note that.
That's amazing. And just out of curiosity, are there any languages that you are interested in learning? African languages yourself? Any that you could share?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. So I'm actually Yoruba, but I'd actually love to learn Igbo. Igbo is actually a Nigerian. It's a Nigerian language, and it's a language I think that is, it's a very romantic language, romantic sounding, and it's something that I would love to learn. And I have actually already signed up to learn Igbo, and I hope that before the end of 2021, I'll be a fluent Igbo speaker.
I will be reaching out to you in 2021 to test. I'll be also joining.
No problem.
And this is my last question, and it's not really a question. I'd like to know what comes to your mind when I say three words, and then just say whatever comes to your mind. So the first word is diaspora.
Okay. Africans. Africans. And
heritage.
Heritage, yes. Heritage, Africans, culture, heritage, history. Yeah.
And when I say Africa?
Power, strength.
Amazing. I like it. Yeah. Such a good way to end it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Lami. It's been so great to chat.
Thank you. It was nice talking to you.